Thank you, Amos. Thank you, David. Well, I want to go back with you for just one second, just one moment, to the 14th, to August 14th, 2006, the day that the war ended. 7 a.m., the ceasefire is announced, and actually it gives a kind of a green light to hundreds of thousands of people, Lebanese, Israelis, to go back to their houses. Some of those houses weren't existing anymore. But they did go back to their houses. Some of them went to southern Lebanon, some of them went to the northern parts of Israel. And it also gave a kind of a green light to Hezbollah to start his celebrations of the victory, of the winning in this war. And I think that since then we are bothered in this question whether Hezbollah won or not the war in Lebanon. Well, I think that there's no one clear answer, but I'd like to mention an incident or an event that happened at the same day, and if I'm not wrong, the same day, and David, please correct me if I'm wrong about this, where Fox News made a kind of a open-air studio regarding the end of the war, and Shepard Smith, a Fox News correspondent in Beirut, made a on-air, online, kind of a discussion with some analysts on the studio in DC, and the analyst was David Makovsky back then. And Shepard Smith asked David Makovsky, who do you think won the war? And David started to answer the question, but then immediately Shepard Smith stopped him and told him, listen, because of the fireworks of the Hezbollah celebrating its victory, I cannot hear you, please raise up your voice. So,
true story.
But except for that, we know that Hezbollah managed, or tried at least, to portray its own victory during the days after the war, during the weeks and months after the war. We saw those huge signs, huge portrays of Hassan Nasrallah all over Lebanon, especially in the southern part of Lebanon, but also in Dahia and some other areas, in which we saw the picture of Hassan Nasrallah, and underneath it the slogan Nasser min Allah, that means a victory from God. And I think that since then Hezbollah tried again and again and again to fix in the brain of the people that yes, he won that war. And I'm not that sure that this is the right answer for that, that this is what happened on the ground, that Hezbollah won. And let us remember for just one second that military speaking, Hezbollah was damaged severely during the war. Its southern division, Nasser division, was completely, almost wiped out, but really completely damaged. More than that, Hezbollah understood that the Israeli intelligence, which was criticized very badly during the war and also after the war, actually knew exactly where Hezbollah was hiding all his long-range and mid-range rockets, one after the other. So I guess, military speaking, Hezbollah and Hassan Nasrallah understood that yes, they were damaged. And I think that the best proof for that they didn't really win the war, military speaking, is the quiet that we have right now at the northern border of Israel. And this is the quietest period of the relationship between Hezbollah and Israel for the last decade, if I'm not wrong. Other than that, if we look at the economy damage that Hezbollah went through, I think that it's even worse than the military speaking, the military level. Hezbollah lost billions of dollars because of this war, because of the Israeli bombing of some targets belonging to the organization, belonging to its social network. And I think that after the war, Hezbollah understood that it got to compensate its people, to give back some of the money that those people, the Shiite population especially, in southern Lebanon lost. And it had to invest billions of dollars, the same billions of dollars that it lost. But what happened since then? The problem that since then, military speaking, let's say that he's better, he's stronger, he has more missiles than ever, he has longer range missiles than ever. And in a way, he's a better army than he used to be at the summer of 2006. Economically speaking, well, thanks to the Iranians, I think that Hezbollah managed to get over this issue also. and to get the billions of dollars from the Iranians and to invest them in the same people that lost their houses. And we saw the picture, I still remember the pictures from Dahya, from Beirut, when Hezbollah is given keys for new apartments for the same people that lost their apartments because of the bombings of the Israelis. And I think that at that point, Hezbollah managed to reconstruct not only those houses that were damaged, but also his own image in the eyes of its own population, at least, in the eyes of the Shiite population. But I want to focus here and now on another issue, of course, and that's the issue that is bothering me more than anything else, less concerning the security issue or the economic issue, but the public image of Hezbollah. What happened to this organization in the internal issues of Lebanon? And I must say that after the war, I had this feeling that Hezbollah lost. Although he was portrayed as the big winner of this war, although in the TV channels like Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya, but especially Al Jazeera, he was portrayed as the one that brought Nasser min Allah, the victory from God. But suddenly we had a very open criticism against Hezbollah, against Hassan Nasrallah. Suddenly we hear Walid Jun Balat, the leader of the Druze in Lebanon, speaking like he never spoke before. We heard some other people, also from the 14th of March camp. We even heard some Shiite clerks speaking against Hezbollah and against Nasrallah and against this slogan of Nasr min Allah. And one of them, the Mufti of Tyre, asked, well, what kind of victory from God is this if so many people got killed and so many people got injured and became fugitives, etc., etc.? And I felt that it's at that point, although many people, especially in Lebanon, said that Nasrallah won and Hezbollah won, I thought that they were losing. Because the question marks were there on the table. It's not anymore underneath the table. It's not like a very quiet criticism against Hezbollah. But suddenly, many people in Lebanon speak loudly, openly, that we need to dismantle the weapons of Hezbollah. Now, then again, let's go back to 2008, spring of 2008, summer of 2008. I think that what happened since then is that Hezbollah managed to wipe out its criticals. The same criticism against Hezbollah is now again under the table. Well, we heard, of course, Jun Balad, we heard others. But since the Doha's agreement, I think that we understand that Hezbollah won. And the same process that started in this war ended up at the summer of 2008 with a very good and quick victory, I must say, for Hezbollah in Lebanon. First of all, the battle that started with Israel in 2006 is ending up in Lebanon, in the internal issues in Lebanon, with a great victory for Hezbollah. And this is the way that I see, at least, the Doha agreement. Of course, some people would say that because of the small-scale civil war inside Lebanon, Hezbollah lost, or his public image is damaged. And in a way, it is right. Look, Hezbollah promised again and again and again that he will never use his arm, his weapons, against other Lebanese. Silah al-Mukawama, that the weapons of resistance will never be again against Lebanese. Now they use it against Lebanese. So of course there are some people in Lebanon then again saying, why do we need the weapons of Hezbollah? The problem is that this time the reality is completely changed. Because this time I fear that Hezbollah do not care as much as they used to care about the internal criticism against the organization. Just like what happened with Hamas in Gaza after the coup. Okay, there was some criticism against Hamas. People said some bad words against this organization in Gaza. At the end, Hamas still controls Gaza, and Hamas still controls more effectively than ever Gaza Strip, and in a way gets more popularity even in the West Bank. And I fear that this is what's going to happen in Lebanon also. Although more and more people will say, okay, why did they use the weapons against our own people? At the end, when Hezbollah got the Doha agreement, he won. He has his own 11 ministers. He can veto any government decision. The president won't dare even Michel Suleiman, I mean, the new president, won't even dare to challenge the issue of the weapons of Hezbollah. The electoral system is changed. And then again, even in Doha agreement, we don't have a question mark concerning the weapons of Hezbollah. And I think that is the most important issue here on the table, the weapon of Hezbollah. Since 1989 in Taif agreement, we thought that maybe at some point Hezbollah would someone would demand from Hezbollah to be dismantled. But at the end, you know, the first president that was there in Lebanon, René Mouawed, was assassinated after a few weeks from his nomination. And I think that since then we didn't have any real leader that really had the possibility to challenge Hezbollah and to demand the dismantle of its own weapons. Now, except for the victory for Hezbollah inside Lebanon, I fear that what we saw here in Doha agreement is a victory for the Shiite crescent in the battle against the Sunni pragmatic moderate camp, if we can say that. Well, you know, if you follow when Michel Suleiman was elected to be a president, you saw that some of the foreign affairs ministers of the Arab countries. You saw there some other people also, like Manoucher Moutaki, the foreign affairs minister of Iran. And I think that this battle between those two camps, Moutaki won. And I think that he got there because he knew that he's the winner and he had the cards in his hands. And in a way, this battle, again, that started between the pragmatic camp, the Arab pragmatic camp, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, United Emirates, the criticism that we heard from those countries against Hezbollah during the war now is fading away. It's there yet, but I think that with their acceptance of the Doha agreement, in a way they agree that Hezbollah will take over the Lebanon. Why? Because there is no other option. Because the other option of fighting against Hezbollah or trying to push forward the 14th of March camp to fight against Hezbollah is even a worse option for them. That means that Hezbollah will wipe out very fastly, very violently, the 14th of March camp. So at the end, they had to agree to that. They had to play the game with Hezbollah and to agree to those new rules of the game. Now, another question that we had to ask ourselves concerning the war and concerning the current reality, and that deals with Hezbollah's identity. There is a debate for the last two decades concerning Hezbollah, whether it is Lebanese or more like Iranian affiliated, whether it's Shiite Iranian or maybe still Shiite Lebanese. And I think that, personally speaking, and I think that Amos agrees with me in that, I fear and I feel that after this civil war and after the Doha agreement, many of Lebanon people understand that, then again, Hezbollah is in a way more Shiite Iranian than Shiite Lebanese. In a way, it's not like in the early 90s that we thought that after his decision to get into the parliament, to the Lebanese parliament, and then after in 2005 to get into the government, we thought that maybe Hezbollah is becoming more moderate and becoming a real Lebanese patriotic party. Well, it's not. It's still under the order of the Iranians and still listens to the recommendations of the Syrians. And I must say that, as far as I see it, even if there will be a peace agreement with the Israelis, Syria and the Israelis, of course, and even if the Syrians will decide to cut off its relationship with Hezbollah, and I'm not saying that this will happen, I fear that the Iranian Hezbollah connection is much more stronger than just to be in a kind of a real problem. and it will continue, and they will continue to pass some weapons and rockets, not through Syria, because now they have the control over Lebanon, so they can pass it directly through the airport itself. Now, concerning the Lebanon future, I fear that we're gonna see something that we saw during those clashes between Hezbollah and its components in the last couple of weeks. That means that more and more Christians, more and more Sunnis, more and more Druze will leave Lebanon. And the Shiite power will be stronger and stronger, and I'm not talking about the next few weeks and only the elections that will come in the next couple of months, but I'm talking in 10 years, 20 years, the same process that we saw happening in the last century will happen probably in the next decades, and the face of Lebanon is going to be changed. And it's not going to be the same Lebanon that we knew. It's not going to be a kind of a mixture of different communities, but it's going to be a Shiite control with some other communities in it. But I don't think that anyone would doubt the ability of Hezbollah to control Lebanon right now, unless, of course, there will be another war, and this is another issue. Now, that brings us again to the end of the war. And one of the achievements, the main achievement that Israel thought that he had at the end of the war was the 1701 UN resolution. And I must say that if you heard Ehud Olmert, our prime minister, after the war, he was very proud of this UN resolution. And at the end, if we look at what was achieved in this 1701, almost everything that was there is lost. The UNIFIL force is still there, it is right, but more and more rockets are going into the southern area of Lebanon. Well, the embargo is not doesn't exist even. The soldiers are not yet back in Israel, and probably if they will be back, as far as we understand, they are not alive anymore. And I fear that then again, even the few achievements that were achieved in this war through the 1701 are not existing anymore for the Israeli country. Now that brings us again to the same old question that the Israeli people was dealing a lot at the end of the, just before the publishing of Winograd Committee conclusions, and that is whether the Israelis needed to go to the last 60 hours operation in southern Lebanon. Our answer was that actually there was a ceasefire agreement a few hours before the operation started. And that contradicts, of course, the Prime Minister's approach, which was saying that they had to go in order to change the 1701 resolution, in order to make a better resolution for the interests of Israel. What we found out when we made the research for this book is actually that at around 8 p.m. Israel time, there was a UN resolution decision in blue, a print in blue. That means that this is the final edition of this resolution, on the table of the Israeli officials, 3 or 4 hours before the real ground troops entered Lebanon. That means that they could have stopped those troops, and the lives of 33 soldiers might have been saved if someone on the Israeli side decided that, okay, we can stop this operation now after we have the UN resolution in hands. And we fear that the decision to go forward with this operation wasn't completely a military decision, a security decision, that some political issues were involved in this decision to go forward with this operation, and maybe, just maybe, someone on the political level thought or hoped that this last operation will help not only the state of Israel but also his own political agenda and political future. Thank you very much.